Welcome to the afternoon talk. Oh, let's hope our picture stays with us. And Holger Levison will talk about reproducible booster bullseye bookworm. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. For those who don't know, Buster, Bullseye, and Bookworm are these lovely Debian release names. I will not only talk about Debian today. So this is about the last mile and other light years ahead, because this last mile has been very long. So this talk is a dual talk to be streamed later today at DebConf 21, taking place online. It started today. But I also give the talk in person at Bornhæk in Denmark. So thank you all for being here. It's great. And hi to the people at DebConf. I miss Debian people and DebConf. And the world is not fine. It's all wrong. But it is what it is. So anyway, and this is not my work. This is the work of many people. Who have contributed to this in Debian and elsewhere. And we used to do this talk at DebConf with like four or five people on stage, and now it's the second time in a row that I'm doing this alone, so this talk misses many updates. Like DiffoScope, our main tool, has seen over 50 releases in the last 2 years, and I'll just mention it in here. So about me, I'm a Debian user since more than 25 years, contributing to Debian since some time, located in Hamburg, and since the last release, I have uploaded more than 10% of the Debian archive, which is like completely insane. I will explain later why I did this and how I didn't really do much about that. So, reproducible builds. Who of you is not familiar with reproducible builds? Ooh. So, I'll anyway explain the problem briefly. So, there's source code of free software available, which is pretty cool, but most people install pre-compiled binaries. And nobody really knows whether they really correspond, because they are built on some machine, there's a binary artifact included. And so there's various classes of supply chain attacks, which have become more and more popular, like when you, PyPy has been backdoored so that when you download binaries from there, you get them, or other archives, and this becoming more and more widespread. And our solution for that is to reproducible builds, and we define this enable anyone to independently verify that a given source produces bit-by-bit identical results. And as a side effect, then you can be sure that the binary is free software, because you can be sure it comes from the binary. And that's really the only way to be sure a binary comes from a source. So you can only know if it's free software if it's reproducible. And of course, reproducible builds are just one building block for secure distribution of binaries. There's other stuff needed as well, but it's an important step there. So, and when is a build reproducible? What the definition here says, a build is reproducible if given the same source code, build environment, and build instructions, any party can recreate bit by bit identical copies of all specified artifacts. And that's we have written that down. Yeah, it's readable in our documentation. That's the definition, and it's pretty clear to me what it is. I hope it's clear to everybody else. So I mostly ignore why and how to do such builds now, and I'll just mention that this has widely been understood as a problem. Biden has done a statement, a cyber defense something act, about supply chains, and that was a White House briefing, and they plan to spend billions in fixing these kinds of problems. But I will just focus on how and why today. So first, some other projects than Debian, and this is how I understand it. I'm a Debian developer, and I'm not an expert on all these projects mentioning now. So Tails has reproducible builds. And I wrote easy because Tails only produces one ISO. So you rebuild the Tails ISO, and either it matches or it doesn't. Well, Debian consists of 30,000 packages, and you need to confirm them all, and that's more complicated. And I only also wrote pragmatically solve, but not systematically, because when Tails does a release now, they do the release, and they announce the checksum of the ISO, and then you can reproduce the ISO or don't. But there's no systematic effort in, like, whatever, different countries produce different projects produce different ISOs for Tails. That's not being done yet, but still it's the best implementation because of the symbols also. Then Arch Linux. Arch Linux has, in a way, overtaken Debian a bit because Arch Linux has real rebuilders now. They check their results. But there's also not really user tools or integration or documentation. It works on a technical level, and that's great. SUSE has also active development. One person mostly, Bernhard Wiedemann, who also does the QA efforts. He's doing a lot of there, and SUSE could be reproducible in theory, but they don't set some bits for RPM, so SUSE is not reproducible in practice. Then there's NixOS, which very recently on this R13Y reproducibility.com, they also show the minimal installation image. And their installation image is 94% reproducible, so again, the whole image is not reproducible, but cool nonetheless. And there's GNU-Geeks, also reproducible by design, like NixOS, but their design also allows unreproducible software because some software is still unreproducible. And they have this Geeks Challenge thing, so you can check whether one specific software is reproducible. Yocto, which is an embedded build environment, also has reproducible images for some of their software, but the toolchain and everything supported. Yocto is becoming quite big in some embedded worlds, and that's really cool. But that's all I know, and that's all they've been doing. You can create images which are reproducible, but all the user tools are again lacking. And F-Droid also F-Droid is this app store for Android phones. F-Droid also supports reproducible builds. They have some applications which do reproducible builds, but it's really arcane to find out. There's a web page with all the APKs. And if there's a file installed, I think, then it's reproducible. And if there's a file diffoscope.html, it shows the differences. So you as a human can crawl that and find out if your application is reproducible or not. But that's not a UI. And there's also no promises for further apps, whether one app which is in the App Store reproducible today, whether it will only be there if it continues to be reproducible. Alpine also has basic support, a bit like Yocto. FreeBSD, NetBSD, OpenBSD. I don't know about OpenBSD, but I know the base image of Free and NetBSD can be built reproducible. We have not looked at the ports, and as far as I know, no BSD person continuously spends time on this. And Fedora, Red Hat, Ubuntu seem not to be interested. So many projects support reproducible builds, but it's really unclear what it means for a user, how user can benefit, how users can see it, and be confident. And a kind of different approach is something KPCYRD, which is his nick, started last week, I think. he made a project on GitHub, I probably didn't backdoor this, which is just a fine manual, where he describes a simple Hello World program written in Rust, how to review the source code, the compiler, and then he reproduces the ELF binary, reproduces a Docker image, and an Arch Linux package. And he says he didn't backdoor them. And you can check whether it's true. It's a nice effort, and it shows that it's not enough to have just the binary reproducible, but also the whole package, the system you install, the image. And then there's another project from Bernhard Wiedemann, the unreproducible package, which contains some examples how a package is made unreproducible. So what pitfalls you can introduce, which you should not do, because it's much easier to show problems than to show the absence of problems. So now to Debian, which I'll start with my wishes or goals for DebConf 20 last year. And we had the problem of CI builds versus rebuilds. CI builds is just where we take the source code and do many variations, as many as possible, and hope that the package is still reproducible. That's nice to find problems, but we don't test whether we can actually rebuild what Debian distributes on the FTP servers. Then we had some issues with build info files. Build info files contain the instructions, the hashes of the source code, the depends which are needed to the build depends, and the resulting artifacts. And I'll come to that in this moment. And then we also had thousands of packages in Debian without build info files. That was why I did those 3,000 uploads. And we have a script, debrebuild, which had some problems, and we had other issues. And back then I said how to use reproducible builds and user interfaces are not even on my radar anymore. That was the status last year, and I'll now explain where we got there. So the status of these wishes today, there's some progress with the rebuilders. Debian build info files got better. This thousands uploads has happened. Deep rebuild was mostly or partly addressed, but we made huge infrastructure progress, and there's always other issues. But I want to repeat my frustration from 2019, or actually 2019, all the previous years, because I have given many times the warning the next Debian release will not be reproducible. So last year I said Stretch could have been reproducible but wasn't in practice. Buster, we missed it. And Bullseye, we'll probably also miss it again. And so this year, Bullseye, we almost made it. And for Bookworm, the next release in 2 years, I hope we'll have some meaningful reproducibility. Because we can reproduce like many packages, but if there's always some, it doesn't really help. So what first about the CI versus rebuild issue. So not Debian is wrong, but most people who see this number are wrong, because it's a lie, because these are CI results, but not how Debian is really reproducible, what we distribute. So we only have builders, but not rebuilders, and we need to rebuild Debian and compare this to get the number. This is what Arch Linux is already doing, and Debian is not doing yet. And up until very recently, we had two main blockers for this, and these 3,000 packages without build info files, which could not be reproduced, and I fixed this by uploading them all, which I just did a source-only upload where I did not note no changes except increasing the version number and changelog and upload it so that then a build info file is generated. And to my surprise, that worked hardly, mostly without complaints. Some complaints were there. And then we have Snapshot Debian Org, which is a Debian server which has all packages since 2005, all ever uploaded for all architectures, and that doesn't scale. It's fine to download one package, but if you really need to download 500 of them in very specific versions and you want to do this 24 hours for weeks, then you would could get connection issues and stuff. And so Frederic Pierrier and Josh fixed this by writing a snapshot clone and different API. They'll give a talk about this on Thursday at DebConf, where they explain what they do much better than I could do this. And so we have now a partial snapshot mirror for AMD 64 only, not for the other architectures, and only going back until January 2017. So that includes all packages from the Buster cycle, I think, or maybe Bullseye. I think it's Bullseye. But there's their talk on Thursday, the 26th at 21 UTC. So this 93 number was wrong. Actually, today we are at 95.5% reproducibility. But and now this is more showing how to lie with statistic. So we improved 2% from 93.9 to 95. But we also increased 3,000 more reproducible packages. 3,000 new reproducible packages sounds way better than 2% more. Or we solved 1/3 of the remaining 6%. Anyhow, this build info files, I will not get too much into details what it is. We have this build info's Debian net service, which is kind of proof of concept, but it works, but it should be on Debian infrastructure. It's a hack I wrote or with unrelated servers, and it's still running, but it should be done better. This problem has been solved with 3,000 packages, and this is also has been worked around that the Debian infrastructure needs to update the build info files. And this is basically the same. This are solved or with Band-Aid, but we still have some problem with build info files. Namely that for security updates, these build info files are not published the way other, that's because how the way Debian archive works. This is mostly not for the people in the Bornhack room, but you at DebConf 21, hello, you can address this issue. Which means when there's a new security update, we cannot rebuild it reproducibly. We need to wait for the point release when it's put into the main archive. And similar with Debian LTS, there's the same problem, but until Bullseye will become LTS, it will be 3 years, so we have 3 years to fix this bug, and then maybe there can be reproducible LTS updates. And another problem with rebuilding is DPG keys expire, and the archive keys, so you cannot create a base Debian setup build environment in some years to come. And maybe it would be better not to expire the keys. I'm not sure. About the rebuilders, what I said last year, we had this deb rebuild script, which has some problem, and most of them have been addressed. But rebuilding needs a working snapshot service, and snapshot doesn't scale. So that's what I said, Fredrik and Josh have solved this with this partial mirror. So that's good. And you should really see the talks. There's an API how to use this. And we also plan to increase this, not only have AMD 64, but also soon ARM 64 and probably ARM HF. But not, we don't have the resources yet for all Debian, all 11 Debian architectures. So what we really want is to make snapshot Debian org scale or work. But as long as this doesn't happen, and because that's a much bigger problem, we kind of are happy that we have this workaround for AMD 64. So Frederick hosts his mirror at his private machine at his place, which is this Debian not set France URL. We'll soon have a mirror of that mirror at Toasted at the Oregon State University Open Source Labs. And then we can set up rebuilders and hammer this service. And you can use it all already. And then we'll have rebuilders for both Bullseye and Bookworm, because previous releases are really not interesting to reproduce anymore. And Fredrik also has a proof of concept for a rebuilder, so I'm looking forward to integrate this into the coming weeks or months, and then finally have results for Debian rebuilders for real. And the last part is the meaningful reproducibility of Debian. Finally, since a week or something, all 21 essential source packages are reproducible. Yay, this is really something new and something small. But then if you go to the required set, it's only 26 of 29. And the two unreproducible packages are GCC 10, apt, and GCC 9, I think. So, and everybody needs them. So unless we don't fix this, there will be always something, and quite important part of the something, which is not reproducible. Out of the most installed packages, there's 50 which are not reproducible. Out of the GNOME package set, it's only 28. So it's a bit better, but you need to have, it's still not enough. And then also the Debian installer images are not reproducible. I think we have patches for all problems, and now that the Bookworm development cycle has started, we can hopefully get these patches integrated. And the last bit is Debian live images are not reproducible. We also need to work on this, though. There's also the problem that Debian live images need a new maintainer. That's a problem with the Debian live images, but I think that's a good goal to have for Bookworm, to have those images reproducible. Because we will not get these 95 or 96, but we can hopefully make a minimal Debian image which is reproducible eventually. Ah, yeah, and eventually we also want up to warn when there's a non-reproducible package to be installed. I think this bug has a patch even, so that could be done today. I just wanted to remove. It's still true. We have last release cycle, the testing team, release team introduced that a package can only migrate to testing if the build happened on the Debian builds and not at the maintainers. And we were very happy that they implemented this blocking. And at the same time, they brought up the idea of making migration to testing faster if the package is reproducible. We would like that, but this is just a development process detail. That's it. Thank you for being here, for working on reproducible builds.
Thank you very much for your talk. I think it's a great achievement, given that I still remember a few years ago when people were talking about having maybe Tor browser and Tails reproducible, and so that we now have the first OSs which are close to it is very good, I think. Are there questions to the talk?
So, is it the same problems we have in the packages that makes them unreducible, or are there a million different ways of making them unreproducible?
There are many ways to make a package unreproducible, like hundreds. Like there's different classes of problems, and then there's also toolkits which have problems. So there's whatever the most documentation toolkits embed the build or used to embed the build time in their build product. And then there's like 50 tools creating documentation from HTML, from XML, from PDF, whatever, and they all have these kind of problems.
So when you say that Rebuilding them is it's a scaling issue also. It will require, well, basically a lot of extra infrastructure. Could you have a system where you would be sampling the packages in order to learn what kind of common pitfalls there are, instead of reproducing everything blindly?
What system?
So when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of packages, it's going to cost a lot of resources in order to rebuild them in a nice way again and again. So if you had a strategy for sampling these, so you could document what kind of unreproducibility problems you had in order to cluster them, if you like.
Well, first, the resource problem is really not a problem, because it doesn't need that much CPU power or bandwidth to rebuild. That is basically fine. The problem is rather looking at the results, which where sampling or automatic categorization could help. And also you want to always want to retest new software, because if you even do, you have a software which is reproducible now, like Tor browser. At any moment, for the upstream Firefox can introduce changes which make the build unreproducible again. So you need to retest every new release. And every new release of dependent binaries as libraries as well.
You mentioned that the kind of key packages missing are apt and GCC. I was a bit surprised about apt, but can you say why these two packages are not reproducible?
No.
Okay.
I can.
But I mean, apt is, it's all your responsibility, right? So.
Yeah. Mine. No, I don't know what. I could. Does build ID. GCC, that is not relevant for us. We have GCC captures build paths. That is something. Picture. This is something where GCC embeds the build path, and we solve this by rebuilding in the same path. We still track this issue because we want to support rebuilding in a different path, but this is not the app problem. It's non-deterministic to do identifiers and documentation generated by DoxyGen, probably. This is unstable. What is this? Yeah, it's DoxyGen if you look at the build. Yeah. It's the DoxyGen issues in apt.
Hi. You mentioned there was a problem with the snapshot server where you couldn't fetch a large quantity of packages that you needed. Is that problem simply a hardware lack of hosting?
It's a huge database with, I forgot, 15 terabytes files and 15 terabyte size and 10 million files and some. It's not hardware.
It's scaling.
Scaling.
Okay. I understand.
And some of the bugs have been addressed, and the others we are working around and trying to fix them really, but it's complicated.
Is it possible to have maybe Debian ports that doesn't support all the that are unsupported architectures? Would there be any effort to have reproducible builds there as well? Or is that the responsibility of Debian ports, which is not official?
Well, they gain most of the stuff we did. Like the build info files, they are produced by their builds, so that should be fine. Yeah. It's the same with Ubuntu. Ubuntu could also take our work, and it just takes some work.
Are there further questions? I don't see. Then let's thank the speaker again.